Okay, today is May 16th, 2001, and my name is Bill Schultz. I'm here with Esther Burkhardt, and we're going to be talking about her experience and memories of Pine Mountain Settlement School. And let's see, Esther, when did you first hear about Pine Mountain, and how did you find out about Pine Mountain?
Well, I was a student at Pine Mountain, I mean at Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And I needed to have work after college. So that was a choice. And I chose to go to Pine Mountain Settlement School.
Oh. That I'm slightly surprised that I mean, Pine Mountain being such a sort of remote and relatively not well known place, that through Antioch, that in Ohio, that you there was an affiliation there,
Oh,
or
yes. The students at Antioch worked 10 weeks on campus, 10 weeks off campus
Oh.
at their chosen career, hopefully.
Okay.
And Pine Mountain was one of the co-op workplaces. So many students did go and were offered. One was offered the directorship of Pine Mountain.
Oh, I see. And I assume that you were interested in teaching, which led to that. What year was that when you went to Pine Mountain?
1936.
1936. And what were some of your initial impressions of Pine Mountain when you arrived there? And
Well, first I took a train to Harlan County, county seat of Kentucky, and what was met at the train by a driver from the school. We drove to Putney, then we ascended Pine Mountain and up. Of course, it was a logging road, and then down, and then a few miles in the valley. And it was a beautiful place. You want me to go on? Okay. I was given a room in Far House, which was a girl dormitory. It was a living room with a little alcove for dressing and a sleeping porch, just the size of a bed, screened in. Sometimes there was snow on my bed. But I'm used to it. It didn't surprise me because I grew up in an unheated room, bedroom. See, my family married in 1907, so they had screened porches or cold bedrooms.
Oh, okay. And I've heard about those screened-in porches, and I'm surprised that I could never quite understand what the reasoning behind that was, especially during the winter time when it's cold.
Well, the heating was just fireplaces
Oh.
in those days. It was different at Pine Mountain. Now, each dormitory had the screen porches for the students and the workers. Well, first thing I did then was to walk up the creek to get acquainted, introduce myself to the Columbus Creech family and the Henry Creech family. Then later, I walked down the creek, another creek down the other direction, and there is I understood why I had heard that the annual income of a farmer was $35, and the annual income of the miners may be 60, and in between the loggers. These people maybe had one china plate, and a dish towel would be an apron.
Mm.
And they had no running water.
Mm-hmm.
They cooked in a lard bucket.
Mm.
Whereas at Pine Mountain, at the school,
mm-hmm.
they had electricity,
ah.
running water everywhere,
mm-hmm.
because they had the reservoir up, spring fed up in the mountain.
Right.
And it was running all the time.
Ah, so those, I guess, were considered luxuries. And electricity,
which was a luxury because they didn't have it many places in Kentucky.
Okay. And what were, or if you want to stick to...
no, that's okay.
I was wondering, since he mentioned Henry and Columbus Creech and their families, what do you remember about them, and if anything, what they may have told you, or any stories they told you about their father?
I just got acquainted so that they would trust me.
I see.
They believe in trust.
Okay.
These people.
Yes.
Well, the buildings were beautiful. They were made of this native sandstone and lumber from the all quarried and cut on the campus
mm-hmm.
by local people, although there were some outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
But the person responsible for the beauty was Mary Rockwell from Kansas City. She had graduated as maybe the first woman in architecture,
mm-hmm.
and this was the turn of the century before, 1900,
mm-hmm.
and Pine Mountain was going 1913, so she was responsible early for these gorgeous buildings.
Oh.
She had an eye for area planting,
mm-hmm.
planning. The buildings would be on the hillside,
mm-hmm.
away from the floodplain.
Yeah.
And there would be arable land for the farming.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings would not be close together to prevent fire.
Right. That is true. I never, now that you mention it.
It was planned.
I can see how the buildings are so spread so yes. nicely apart.
There was a purpose. I have visited other settlements not made that way.
Wow.
Not the beauty. And she believed that the landscaping should be natural trees, native trees and plants and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And not cut, but native growing.
Okay. Did you have a chance to meet her personally?
I'm into that. There was a Laurel House and the dormitories, the boys' house, the girls' house, the infirmary, the industrial building, the chapel, the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
and there was a house called Open House in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging on the wall was a framed biography of Mrs. Hook. We call her Mrs. Hook because mm-hmm. she did marry later, mm-hmm. and the lawyer in Kansas City, Mr. Ingram Hook. This was a biography of her, and it was the words were written, researched, and written by Clyde. The type was handset. It was printed on a hand-fed press,
mm-hmm.
and it was printed put in a frame that he made out of walnut in the woodwork shop. And she sought Clyde out and said, "What can I do for you?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I would like to have a job off campus. How would you like to be a busboy in my house?" So he spent the summer at her house, and it tickled him that he attended all the professional butler meetings, and they were all black, of course. But they carefully taught him how to carry a loaded tray on the palm of his hand. And he was about 14. Mm. He had been at Pine Mountain School since he was 11.
Mm. And he was going to be a butler at her house in Kansas City?
Yes, okay. Just that summer.
Okay.
Then he soon after finished his high school at Berea College.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at Berea, because they had a course for children for the, you know, high school.
Okay, I see.
At that time.
Right.
Well, they had lots of children in that department.
Yeah.
So then he finished Berea College.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Okay. And did you spend some time in, have any meals or anything like that in open house with Mrs. Hook or during the summers? And can you describe the house in some detail, what it was like?
The guest house, the one that this picture was in, open house,
mm-hmm.
Well, it was mostly, she would enjoy it because it was called open house.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't insulated, it was just a cabin in the woods, but very nice. But it was used for some guests. Some guests would approve of that.
Oh, I see.
Well, yes, I went with Clyde to her house. We all went together.
Uh-huh.
And she had designed her house around a tree, and she could approach her swimming pool from her bedroom.
Oh, she had a swimming pool.
Upstairs bedroom. That's at her house in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
In Kansas City. Now we're back at the campus, so we'll go on with the house, with the other buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You may ask me about those. Let's see.
All right. Actually, while we're on the subject of Mrs. Hook, what kind of person, what sort of personality did she have?
She visited the campus maybe four times a year,
mm-hmm.
but when I was there, see, she was, all, you know, with all those years before me.
Right.
But when I was there, she visited twice a year.
Okay.
She always came in twice a year, and she usually took some of her students with her to Florida, and they learned to be a cook and do house things with her in Florida.
Okay.
The older girls.
I see.
Spend the winter. She was the architect.
Okay.
And of course, always a friend of the school.
Right.
And they're very, very fine people.
Mm-hmm.
I was to have the grade school. But I didn't think I could handle little ones with the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the maybe six to 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing in the morning, the rest of the boarding students were all working from the first 2 hours in the morning up mm-hmm. until 9 o'clock school would start.
Okay.
I took these younger children first before that. They walked in.
Mm-hmm.
each time I passed this Hoover, the little six-year-old boy, mm-hmm. he would duck his head under his arm. And a few days later, he said, "Miss Weller, you don't hit me."
Mm-hmm.
And then later, one day, he said, "Miss Weller, I'm sick. You know where the wash basin is. You go and stay there until your sickness is over. And after a while, he came into the room and said, I'll never take another chaw of tobacco from Barry Day.
Now, when you told him to go to the wash basin, did you literally mean for him to go to the wash basin?
Yeah. That's where he vomited.
Oh, and so you knew it was tobacco?
Well, it's always this trouble.
Yeah.
At that time, they were putting in a pipe organ in the chapel.
Oh.
So I took my children, young children, to the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And above the back door, on a platform, they were arranging the pipes, exposed pipes.
Uh-huh.
And we got a chance to blow into each one to hear the tones.
Wow. That's interesting. And not many people I know had a chance to do that.
Well, so with the older group, that's the fourth to the eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
I had these children read a story aloud with the idea of making it into a play.
Oh.
They read aloud, they wrote a play, they chose the one that's more suitable and would work,
mm-hmm.
they chose the characters,
mm-hmm.
and the practice, and then in the evening after supper for 2 hours there was the activity period in the industrial building.
And which is the industrial?
Well, the first industrial building I'm not speaking of. I'm talking about the newer one that had the art room, the woodworking, the printing shop, and so forth.
Okay.
And so they would go to the big room, art room, under Miss mm-hmm. Verna Flater, who was excellent. And she guided them into the costumes, the practicing, the staging,
oh.
all of that.
Okay.
That was their... So at the performance, I noticed as it was closing that the director and the principal spoke to each other and said, it's good to take it on a road, but it needs polishing.
Uh-huh. Now, was the performance in the chapel?
No, it was in the auditorium in the schoolhouse.
Oh, okay. And who was the director and the principal at that time?
Glenn Morris, director.
Okay.
Arthur Dodd, principal.
Okay.
Graduate of Berea College.
I see.
And Mr. Morris was from a seminary in the East.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this was his first job. It was my first job.
Okay.
He was Welch.
Oh, okay.
The little school, the grade school, was eliminated at the end of the year because the county school system had an elementary school closer for these children that walked in and for that. So the next year it was a boarding school for 100 students.
And that was still 1936, 37?
Yes.
Okay.
38. And I was told to visit the applicants
mm-hmm.
in their homes oh. and choose them.
And this was for high school age children?
Only.
Okay.
Boys and girls.
Okay.
And I really think I got the needy.
You got what?
I got the needy pupils.
Oh, okay. I see.
It was, well, the roads were always, you know, up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down. Nothing straight. So at one point, I didn't know I had to back down all the way because there was no way for me to turn or twist anyway.
Did you have to travel any lengthy distances to interview kids, or were they mostly local?
Well, it was sort of several counties.
Okay.
Because I traveled as far as Whitesburg.
Okay.
And Hazard, Hyden.
Oh, okay.
Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't go over to Harlan, I don't think. I don't know really. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
But you did go to various places. And so there were about 100 students at the boarding school?
Oh, we always had 100 students, 100 boarding students.
Okay. And did you stay and live in a different building other than I forget where you said
well,
you initially?
Well, I always had a room. In each of these buildings, there were rooms for workers.
Mm-hmm.
In Boys House, there may have been 4 or 5 rooms for workers.
Oh.
The principal, the electrician, the auto mechanic, the house parent. Of course, the house parent had probably a better room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
He'd need a little more room.
Yeah, sure.
And Laurel House was the kitchen, the dining room, and the dining room was used for the country dancing.
Okay.
You just put the chairs back and.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just what we do now.
The Christmas program, you know, the nativity, all the festivities for the Christmas week, Laurel House was the place to gather.
So the nativity play was in Laurel House also? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know exactly, but there were festivities, certain things every day for a week, and they originated at Laurel House.
Okay.
But there were some guest rooms in Laurel House.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had very prominent people visit.
Okay.
The laundry, the kitchen, what else? Everything that, and it had a big fireplace.
Mm-hmm. What was your describe a day in your daily schedule and. In terms of your class periods and
I didn't have any more classes. That's all. That's past.
No, I'm in your teaching classes.
I'm counselor. I'm.
I
visited the children and gave them their jobs on campus. See every person and everything on the campus, everything that's livable, you have to have somebody do it. There was the farm complete, mm-hmm. chickens, dairy herd, Ayrshire, pigs,
mm-hmm.
And then the farming, you know, you have to raise all this food,
right.
And the children have to gather it and can it, and cook it, preserve it. And so every child had a job.
Okay.
And of course it changed because I don't know how much it was, but maybe every 6 months or every so many months,
mm-hmm.
I changed their work.
Okay.
But I had to schedule
so
all the
you
children.
Were in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's part of the counselor.
Okay.
And then of course there was an adult, one of the workers, oversee this. And see there was, they learned the electricity,
mm-hmm.
the care of the water, pure, keep
mm-hmm.
it, the functioning of that, and what else? Oh, mechanics to keep the cars and the trucks running.
Okay.
all the farm implements in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was forestry too, I forget that. But,
so
and then there was nursing. There was a program too, for the infirmary. The nurse had maybe 12 girls in nursing.
Oh.
And then there was the home economics.
Mm-hmm.
The sewing and the cooking and the weaving in the industrial building.
Right.
That's the first industrial building had those.
Okay.
And this last one added the woodwork and the art and the printing.
Okay. Excuse me for one second.
I assumed myself to be kind of a hostess. And if somebody came and they were just wandering around, I would show them
mm-hmm.
around.
Okay, wait.
Don't.
Yeah, get back to what you were doing.
That's just, I took it upon myself.
I hope you tell someone about being a counselor. Ready, go.
What am I going?
Okay.
Oh.
Go ahead. You were saying you took it upon yourself to...
Well, that's just byproduct.
Okay.
The big thing, one big thing that happened, we called it a guidance institute, and we had a woman from Richmond, Virginia, to come and be the coordinator or leader, and it encompassed all of the people in education in the Harlan County, adjoining counties, mm-hmm. teachers, anybody. So they came over to campus for a week or several days. I know for a weekend, but okay. there were several days. So that was a great thing for the education, continued education of the educators.
Uh-huh.
And it gave lots of work for the students
mm-hmm.
on the campus because they took care of everything.
Right.
And the printing, all the publicity, all the printing of the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
The boys and girls got to go experience in
That's
printing.
Good.
It was a great thing.
Sounds like they the kids learned all kinds of skills. And,
oh, yes.
And I'm going to flip the tape right now. Hold on 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm just speaking about the unusual and the interesting. The math teacher, Miss Gladys Hill, had a co-op store. And it's very important because the children learned type, this a new or different type of ownership,
mm-hmm.
that they all owned it and had a part in it and received an income from it.
Oh.
Interest and banking, buying
mm-hmm.
and selling.
Oh.
That's a big math course.
Right, yeah, it
and
sounds
it was interesting because the children could all come and buy their paper and pencils and
mm-hmm.
whatever they had in the store.
Oh, okay.
And in the print shop, the boys and girls printed the syllabus that Mr. Burkhardt had for the printing. And the first thing he had on his desk for them to learn was these 400 most misspelled words in our language.
Oh, is that right?
And they had a syllabus from of journalism from Antioch College. guides.
Where was the printing press located?
It was in that newer industrial building.
Okay.
Linotype, see, they learned commercial printing, and each one of his pupils went into the printing field.
Oh.
One boy married the owner's daughter, this printing company. Huh. They all went into the printing field.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of them, Clyde, I mentioned.
Yeah.
After he was in the World War II, finished his merchant marine, he went into a dairy and made $1 million and so forth. I could tell you a whole lot about him. Mm-hmm. But he eventually established his own printing firm.
Oh.
And now his son runs it.
And where is that?
It's in Florida.
Okay.
He is now about 79.
Okay.
And the nurses, they all went into the nursing field.
Okay. And up what is now West Wind was the hospital, correct?
Well, at that time it wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
We only had the infirmary.
Only in the infirmary,
and
okay.
It brought the babies up and down the creek. The mothers came in.
Okay.
Once in a while, we'd have a doctor on campus.
I see.
But Miss Rude from Maryland, a very fine place where she graduated, Maryland, and her girls.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, anything else about the education? Miss Abby Christensen from Beaufort, South Carolina, came every year to teach the English country dancing, sword dancing, Kentucky running set, other folk dances, but mostly it's the English.
Uh-huh.
And the students, it was lovely.
And she came once a year, you said?
No, she came, well, I know she came once a year.
Okay. How often was there folk dancing?
We had, I think it was twice a week.
Twice a week.
But it could have been more often. I just remember that it was twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been more often.
Right.
And also there was a lot of singing of the ballads.
Did you do any, I know that you've taught piano. Were you involved in music at that point?
No, Mr. Dodd was the graduate of Berea. He's the principal. He did all of the piano and organ work.
Okay.
But Mr. Morris taught them singing, so they specialized with 8 girls with the 4 parts. They're called the octet.
Oh.
And then there was boys, 8 of them, with the folk dances with these girls, the partners. So they were very good. And they, to publicize the school and to give the children confidence, see, what all this did was to make these children really proud of themselves. They could really do all of these things.
Sure.
So they went on a tour. They went to President Franklin D. Roosevelt at the White House and entertained the concerts there.
Okay.
And they went to the Henry Ford Museum in Michigan, at Henry Ford Dearborn.
Okay.
And gave a folk dance and singing, the octet. They went to St. Louis, Missouri, and they went to NBC Town Hall in New York.
Oh. I remember recently interviewed Fern Hayes, and she was she was in the octet.
Yes.
And she mentioned traveling, staying with Miss Rockwell Hook in Kansas City at one point too.
Yes. Then another publicity, Mr. Spellman was later the art teacher. He wrote this book, At Home in the Hills.
Oh, okay.
What he did was the artwork, mm-hmm. and then he wrote a comment under each, and that sold real well.
Oh.
It was linoleum cuts and wood cuts that Fred showed him, and had the boys, the printers in the class, print these on lovely paper bind it.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Howard and Charles Hollins, they made up the pages and did the press work.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter Revis and Walter Creech did the binding.
Okay.
And later, much later, several years, I don't know how many years later, it was reprinted.
Okay.
And sold.
That's interesting.
And of course, the teacher of sociology and civics, he wrote a book, A Pine Mountain Study in Civics, so the students printed that one.
Oh.
And of course, they do all the work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's good preparation for commercial printing.
Sure.
And of course, Everett Wilson was very bright. He could, this civics book pertained just to this area,
mm-hmm.
the school.
Okay. I'm curious, I would think that Pine Mountain must have a copy of it in their archives. That's interesting.
Okay.
That's good.
Let's see.
I see you are very prepared with having written things down.
There was a fire. Laurel House burned.
Oh, so that occurred while you were there?
Yes. It was very cold, freezing. The electricity was off.
Okay.
And so they used some candles, and one candle started the fire.
Oh.
In Laurel House. And it was so cold that it was hard to get the water to run through the hose. You know, it would freeze after it was in the hose.
Right. Wow.
They had all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They were prepared, and the boys helped. Well, they were wonderful because they saved furniture out of the Laurel House.
Oh.
Although everything was lost except these. The tables were round tables. Maybe 10 people could sit around.
Yes.
But when you raise the top of the, underneath was a bench for two people.
Right. And I think they must be the same ones that are in Laurel House.
They
now.
Saved them, and they still have them. But they were made in the workshop
oh.
by the students.
I don't know if I knew that. And the amazing thing is, they don't look that old at all. They're in such good condition.
Everything that they made at that time that I saw was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And those are heavy also. It's hard to believe that they're able to save
those.
The boys
took them out.
Things.
And of course it was, you know, you just can't talk about a fire. It's just, the house mother lost everything she had, and the girls too.
Sure.
That was a girl's house. And then all the equipment in the kitchen, mm-hmm. laundry,
yeah.
canning, you know.
Did, how, How were things handled, particularly the kitchen and meals after that happened?
But it went on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went on as though it had not happened, but it was, you know, they just did it.
Yeah.
And of course, everything was in such good shape all the time because the children were no problem. They were just good children.
Mm-hmm.
And they did their work, mm-hmm. and everything was lovely all the time. There was never, I don't know of any problems. Uh-huh. All you had to do was you do this and learn how, and
right.
Problems were always solved.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
There wasn't anything misbehaved. There's no misbehaving.
Mm-hmm. So you don't remember any situations where a student had to be suspended or expelled or anything like that?
Well, there were a couple, but they weren't. They were just quiet.
Right.
Well, let's see. Oh, and one night the office was robbed. Now, we had a night watchman, Jess Cornett, who carried a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go from building to building all around the campus and check all the doors. And
just like now.
So, but it was interesting because it was unusual.
Yes.
And so the aftermath of that was that Jess Cornett would have his rounds, but Fred Burkhard would he the station himself on the mound. That's not there now, I guess, because when you come in the entrance to the right,
mm-hmm.
toward the west, there was a big mound, natural. The ground just went up, and you could sit on top of it and see the whole campus.
Was it a pretty big mound or something?
Well, it was a big mound.
I think almost like a, really like a hill or a very...
Yes.
I think, I know, I don't know whether it's the same one you're talking about.
Know.
And I know that it's, now there are lots of pretty big
it would
big
be covered
trees
with trees,
yeah.
Oh yes. And it had trees on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think that must be
but
the same place.
He stationed himself up there one night, and it turned out that Jess Cornett kept closer and closer, and finally he discovered it was Fred, and that was the laugh of the campus for all, days and days, because they were chasing each other, really, with their eyes.
Oh, is that right?
that's
funny.
Was the only suspect.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's funny.
It was all, yeah, they had lots of fun about everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yes. There's one thing about the counseling that I would want to tell. These people believed in respect, loyalty, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
There was one little boy that almost cried when he would tell me that one of the workers would speak derogatorily of Twyla, the mining camp, and that was where he was born and reared and where his mother and father and children lived.
Oh.
And it make him sad that this person would say bad things about.
So they were very sensitive about those
their
things.
Love place.
I see. Hmm.
And if they're in a situation that a grandmother or an aunt would say, come, I need you,
mm-hmm.
that person would be AOL, you know, away without leave.
Yes.
In their army.
Right, right.
And that would cause some conflict, because other people would never understand that their loyalty is first to their family.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But that would happen at college. You would be in a play, mm-hmm. and it'd be a practice, and your aunt would come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd go to your aunt and miss your play practice, and you'd be fired from the play.
Because, yeah.
See.
But it was all for your family.
Loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't want to interrupt your train of thought as you look through your notes there.
One more, that's all.
Sure, okay. Go right ahead.
In regard to guidance,
mm-hmm.
this was, that institute was June 1936.
Okay.
But through my 4 years there, I would say you bring to bear on the individual all of the influences which help to develop the body, the mind, and character through his own efforts and take his place in the world.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to add?
Whatever you want to hear.
We're starting to run out of time. If there's nothing else that you can think of that
you
want to... Elmer,
have I left out something?
What about when Mrs. Hook took the boy?
I can't hear you.
When Mrs. Hook took the boy. I already
said that. Mm-hmm. No, what I would have would be to give you Clyde Enix's history all the way.
Okay.
And Leela Christian.
Oh, okay.
She's now. She's way up in her 70s.
Okay.
But
yeah, we might not have enough time for that. All right, you were at Pine Mountain for 4 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was a very interesting account that you gave. Thank you very much.
That Clyde was 11 years old when he went to Pine Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and his sister, Polly, went to Grace Nettleton Home for Girls in Tennessee. His brother, Talmage, I don't know where he went. His sister, Pauline, went to the Carson Newman College in Jefferson City, Tennessee. And Mrs. Ernest J. Moore, I don't know where she went.
Mm-hmm.
And Willard came to Pine Mountain, so Willard was there. And Willard sang bass when they produced Gilbert and Sullivan Pinafore.
Oh.
And Fred Burkhard sang the tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Then this Willard, when he grew older, he became a tenor, concert tenor, in Florida, in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And he died early.
Mm.
Then there was another sister, Carol. I don't know where she went.
Okay.
But they all went to different places. And when Clyde left the Merchant Marine at the end of the war, he gathered up all of these siblings,
mm-hmm.
to one place in St. Petersburg, and as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 19, what was it? He was in the 90s. His sister Carol died, and they went to the funeral. It was in another state. And he wore an amplifier in his ears, but he couldn't hear the eulogy given. So when it was over, they said they would give it printed for him so he could read it.
Uh-huh.
But the gist of it was that he had brought his family together, and right. they all learned, went to school then, mm-hmm. and did wonderful things
yeah,
after
that's
that.
Nice. Okay.
He didn't tell him about how I was born there.
Hmm?
He didn't tell him about how I was born there.
Oh.
Oh. That would be good to have.
Well, yes, Eleanor was born May 7, 1940,
mm-hmm.
in the infirmary under Miss Rude, and they did have a doctor there.
Ah, okay.
They didn't always, you know, they'd come and go.
The first child born of the faculty, because it was frowned
yeah.
upon.
That's the only one that we know of that was faculty. There were a lot of babies mm-hmm. born there.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh. And there were several there in the infirmary that night.
Oh.
And the majority of them were 10 pounds, and the owner was 5 pounds. 5'14 or 5 something, but they call that premature.
That's very interesting. Hmm. I've heard about Mrs. Rude.
Miss Rude.
Miss Rude. Yeah, I've heard about her before in the infirmary. Hmm.
Did you do Daddy Chivalry? The Chivalry?
Oh, well, you've heard lots of culture has Chivalry when someone gets married. That's just a what do you call it? Occasion for usually loud noises and
right.
instruments and making a big fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
But at Pine Mountain, they the boys at dusk, well, after, see, bedtime is 9 o'clock. Well, just after 9 o'clock, they came with a wheelbarrow to uh-huh. the room and took Fred in it and dumped him in the swimming pool.
Is that right?
Well, oh, I forgot that one thing. We had staff meetings, I think, once a month.
Okay.
And two people would be host each time, different one. Mm-hmm. And it was usually a man and a woman. But anyway, the unusual was always kind of competition. And mm-hmm. One time, we didn't know what we'd eaten. I think it was sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Until it was about time to leave, and then they said that it was rattlesnake meat.
It was rattlesnake?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, it's just like chicken.
That's what they say.
That was probably Fred. Yeah. Was back of that, I don't remember.
And it was he working there also?
Or? Well, he came in 38.
In 38, and what did he do?
He was the printer.
Oh, that's
the he's printer. In charge of all that's that stuff right. that's okay. going on, busy.
Yeah, okay.
He's from Berea College. He was a master printer and right. a journalist, and you may read his description of Miss Gladys Hill's funeral. That was much later, of course.
Okay.
We went back, well, I forget which year. 70. No, it was in the 50s, wasn't it? Yeah, 52. Anyway, it's on there.
Okay.
And you may take it with you if you wish to, because they may not have it.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know
their
either.
Archives, their what they're doing, saving all this beautiful history.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, I mean, they talk about taking me down there, but it won't be beautiful like it was. It won't.
Mm.
They don't have 100 children making it beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have a lot of people to make a campus.
I know. There's right now. There's there's I guess a limited maintenance staff, and it's
yeah.
It's if, for instance, with the mowing all the grass everywhere, by the time it gets completed, they have to start over again, and that almost in itself is a full-time job.
But you've got the electricity,
yeah.
and the cooking. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
and so much maintenance, and you need a lot of people.
That's true. That's true. Well, we are about out of time. Are there any last minute things you care to add, or? Okay, well, again, thank you very much, Mrs. Burkhardt. And okay.